Jake White says the Springboks should be forced to play for a South African franchise. And today, you are going to get a front row seat into what he said exactly, and I'll tell you why he is wrong. Here's what White said in a recent interview. "We are going to have to think about this differently. We are going to have to force the Springboks to play locally. That requirement was in force in our rugby before, and I understand all the other arguments about players being allowed to play overseas, but our franchises are getting the short end of the stick. I have referred to it often, and I stand by it. There is no way a South African team, given the current budgets allowed, can win the Champions Cup. We are developing players like Cameron Honeycomb and Kirtley Orenser, who will be playing overseas soon. Cheslin Kolbe is coming back to the Stormers at 32, which is great, but the reality, unfortunately, is that he played his best rugby overseas. That's why I respect countries like Ireland and New Zealand. New Zealand has no intention of deviating from its overseas policy. It's simple. If you want to be an All Black, you have to play in New Zealand. We are also going to have to find a way to keep our top players here." Okay, so let me start off by saying that I'm not here to make White look silly or anything like that. Far be it from me to do something of that nature with a Rugby World Cup winning coach. Jake White won the 2007 Rugby World Cup with the Springboks. He won the 2004 Tri Nations. Some of his other accolades while in charge of the Boks include back-to-back wins over New Zealand, something that only Nick Mallett and Peter de Villiers managed before Dr. Russie Erasmus OIG took over as Director of Rugby in 2018. White also beat Australia three times in a row in a single calendar year. In domestic rugby, he has won the Currie Cup, Super Rugby Unlocked, numerous conferences or shields, and taken his teams to the URC final. So this is a man who knows rugby. Make no mistake. However, even the greats are not right 100% of the time. And on this matter, Jake White is wrong. Let's discuss. So we all know rugby turned professional after the 1995 Rugby World Cup. In many ways, the amateurs are still running the sport, unfortunately. The advantage rugby had at that stage was that almost every other mainstream sport had been professional for decades by then. To me, the ideal scenario would be to copy the football example. FIFA has an official international calendar. Club competitions generally take place from August to May to fall in line with the European season. International matches take place in designated windows, and that's pretty much how it works. Now, there are some leagues who play in their own calendar, and that is allowed, but they have no leg to stand on in terms of complaining about the structure of the international season. So even though football is a winter sport, South Africa decided to make its league a summer league. So even in our country, the PSL starts in August. Okay, yes, I know that that is still technically winter, but then it runs right through the summer months before finishing up in May. What it is meant to do is ensure that everyone gets a rest period. And when the international teams are playing, there are no club matches. Now, to a degree, rugby is already doing that. The snag, as we know, is that New Zealand don't want to change their calendar. But eventually, something will have to give. The problem South Africa currently has is that our players are playing an almost 365-day season now. I've said before, the easiest solution is to move the Rugby Championship to the same time as the Six Nations. But that's not really what Jake White is talking about here. Jake wants South African rugby players to play in South Africa in order to be eligible for the Springboks. In other words, if you play in Japan, France, or anywhere else, then White doesn't want Russie to be able to select you. Well, we used to do it that way, and while it wasn't a problem at first, it became a problem. And so if we go back to that selection policy, guys, we also go back to this. And this. For those listening to the podcast version, I'm showing images of Japan beating us at the 2015 Rugby World Cup, Italy beating us for the first time, and the All Blacks hammering us 57-0. How can I be so certain that that will happen? And why does Jake think that won't happen? Well, guys, simply put, it's a professional sport. And in a professional sport, the best players will play where the best salaries are on offer. And in rugby, that is the French top 14. Japan and England offer pretty good salaries too. Thanks to Saru becoming a URC shareholder now and playing in the Champions Cup, a domestic player can now earn more money than previously. But it's still nothing compared to what they get overseas. Stormers coach John Dobson has already indicated that Cheslin Kolbe has taken a big pay cut to come home and play in Cape Town again. As White says, Kolbe has given his best years to overseas clubs. And those overseas clubs have given him the best salary of his career too. But is it all about the money? No. But if you can only do a job for maybe 10 years and you're faced with the prospect of earning 30,000 rand a month or 30,000 euros per month, then what do you expect a player to do? Look at football again. As mentioned, the best players play where the best salaries are on offer. And so, inevitably, if a talented South American, African, or Asian player comes along, they end up at a European club. Mamelodi Sundowns, Boca Juniors, River Plate, Corinthians, and Flamengo cannot compete financially with Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester City, or Paris Saint-Germain. Heck, they can't even compete with Fulham, Valencia, Torino, or Galatasaray. So it's a no-brainer. And in football, no one is going to turn around and say Lionel Messi shouldn't be allowed to play for Argentina because he plays his club football in the USA. If anyone suggested that, they would be laughed right out of the room. Yet in rugby, this is a somewhat popular argument. An argument that thankfully is becoming more and more less fashionable. The only area of this discussion where Jake White is indeed right is that in the current environment and format, I would add, the Bulls, Lions, Sharks and Stormers cannot compete with European heavyweights in the Champions Cup. We have a lot of depth in South African rugby, it is true. But asking four franchises to be able to field two 15s or 23s of relatively equal strength throughout a season is asking too much. White's argument is that the franchises have drawn the short straw and cannot compete in the Champions Cup as a result of the Springbok selection policy. Well, then you just simply have to choose, don't you? Do you want a South African franchise to win the Champions Cup on a regular basis? Or do you want the Springboks to win the Rugby World Cup and or be one of the most successful international teams in the world? Right now, it seems to me at least, that you can't have both, and so you have to choose. Our domestic teams can work towards a solution and a strategy to become more competitive in the Champions Cup. But at the end of the day, South African rugby is about the Springboks. It's not about the Stormers, Lions, Sharks and Bulls. And even if you did do it that way, there's no guarantee a South African team would win the competition. In the last six seasons, the Champions Cup has been won by a French club. We all know they have the biggest budgets in world rugby, club rugby anyway. So what's making you think that a Stormers or Bulls side, bolstered by a few Springboks, will necessarily beat Bordeaux, Toulouse, or La Rochelle? You can think it, but that doesn't mean it will actually happen. A truly global calendar can go a long way towards helping our teams, but a change in format of the Champions Cup could also go a long way towards helping. Our teams are criticised for selecting understrength sides or squads for away games in the pool stage of the Champions Cup, but the European sides do the same for their away games in South Africa in many cases. The problem with the format is that it rewards the risk the teams take in doing that. Perhaps a better way of doing it is for the pool stage to take place entirely in one block. This would not disrupt the URC Premiership or Top 14, because the pool stage of the Champions Cup and Challenge Cup means all the teams are active during those weeks. For the time being, I cannot think of a better solution than that. Another important point on what White is saying. Let's suppose we do indeed go back to that old selection policy. I can tell you now what will happen, guys. For the first few seasons, you might see the Springboks suck it up and play at home. But as soon as a guy gets less game time in the green and gold than he would personally like, he will move overseas. Think Jan-Hendrik Wessels, Johan Grobbelaar. Think that type of player. He's gone. And it won't be much longer before a more established player decides he'd rather earn euros, pounds, or yen to give his family a better life. And then, as per White's policy, he will no longer be eligible for the Springboks. And then just spirals out of control, and the next thing you know, we're losing to Japan, Italy, and being hammered 57-0 again by New Zealand. Is that what you want? Because I have no interest whatsoever in going back to that. Ever. Saru has many faults, and over the decades, the boys in Plattekloof have not always covered themselves in glory. But in terms of the current selection policy, they are 100% correct. For me, international rugby should aspire to the same model as international football. But because we're nowhere near that level yet, we have to accept that international rugby is effectively like a franchise competition. What do I mean by that? Outside of France and Japan, domestic rugby is mostly a loss-making venture. So domestic clubs, provinces and franchises feed the international teams. You could liken international rugby to the NFL in that regard. So as much as it pains me to say it, the reality is the Stormers, Bulls, Sharks and Lions are feeder teams to the Springboks. And given the financial fragilities, you can't turn that around. The Springboks have to be the most commercial viable entity in South African rugby. Just like the All Blacks must be that to New Zealand, Les Bleus to France, and so on and so forth. And whether Jake White likes it or not, that means the domestic teams have to come second. They are there to serve the national team, not to win the Champions Cup, as nice as that would be. But what do you think? Do you agree with me that the current selection policy is the right way to go? Or do you agree with Jake White and think that Springboks should indeed be forced to play for local teams if they want to wear the green and gold jersey? Let me know in the comment section down below, and I'll see you next time.